Good morning. Good to see everyone, all of our visitors this morning. Good to have you. Hope you can come back anytime you have the opportunity. Doors is always open here. Daryl will be our speaker this morning. Good to have him, Karen. Good to see Larry and all his, Sue and all the family. And we'll have some announcements a little later on. Please turn to 262. In the process of doing more work on our cameras, hopefully someday we can have our songs up on the... Jared's been working hard on that.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished, for Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey, for to the mighty
Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we like to thank you for letting us be able to come here this morning and be able to sing hymns under you. Be with Daryl as he brings a lesson of the hour to us this morning. Be with all the sick and the shut-ins we're mentioning today. Be with them, especially during their time of illnesses and recoveries, and be with them. Also be with ones that's away from us so they brought back to us safely. Be with us now through the rest of this service. All this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 10, and that's verses 1 through 4. That's Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. And when he had called unto him his 12 apostles, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are those: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and the John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, and Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of, whose surnames were Thaddeus, Simon the Caius, and who betrayed him.
Please turn to 209. At this song, we'll turn over to Daryl. Good to see Holly this morning. She's been going through a lot. Holly, keep her in your prayers. It's been a little while since I led this song, but we'll do the best we can. 209.
It may be in the valley where countless dangers lie. It may be in the sunshine that I in peace abide. But this one thing I know, if it be dark or fair, if Jesus is with me, I'll go anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go.
Glad to see all of you here this morning. We've got several here that maybe haven't heard me before, so I hope I don't scare you away, that you'll feel like coming back. To those that are viewing us on the digital network, we're glad to have you with us as well. And we would pray that any time you're in the area, that you would be able to, if at all possible, stop in, worship with us. And of course, there are different podcasts that are available by the brethren here at New Lex have put out. So you can find the podcast on the website as well. There's something in this last song that we mentioned that I just we sang that I just want to mention here this morning. And it says there in the fourth verse of that, right before the chorus, he says, I will be with my Savior content anywhere. Are we? Are we content where we are? Are we content with what we are doing for the Lord? Are we content to serve Him as He sees fit? I would hope and pray you would. I would hope and pray you would. We would find that one individual wasn't content. And if you look at this, when you look at the screen, you see a name up there that probably you don't usually think you're going to hear on what we refer to as, or what the world refers to as, a quote, Easter Sunday. You expect you're going to hear a song or a sermon about Jesus, about how he lived, how he died, how he was raised again, come out of the tomb. Well, a few weeks back, we started a series of lessons that were dealing with the apostles, the chosen 12, and one of them was Judas. So I want to take some time to look at Judas today. He's not the most loved person in the Bible, and probably one of the most hated. I do not want to do this as a lesson that glorifies Judas. On the contrary, I want you to realize how despicable a person he became. He's one of the most hated, if not the most hated person in the Bible, if not in the entire world. How many times have you heard of a son in our day and age being named Judas? I can never remember of anybody being named Judas. Judas, the name Jude, also, are derivatives of the name Judah, who was the fourth son born to Jacob and Leah back in the long ago in the Old Testament. Just as we had talked about different names with Simon, who was Simon Peter, that were derivatives of that as well. So the same is true here. Judas, or Judah, the meaning is, he shall be praised. He shall be praised. The name Judah is listed 755 times in the Bible. Now, many times it's referring to the same person in different scriptures, but it is listed 755 times. Judas is listed 32, all in the New Testament. The name Jude is mentioned twice, once in the Old, once in the New. Strong says that Judas was an inhabitant of the city of Kiruth in southern Judea. That's where we get the word Iscariot from. That's what they were known as, Iscariots, where they were from the city of Kiruth. Judas, as we saw in this reading, was one of the 12. You can also find that in Mark 3 and Luke 6 as well. Now, let's take a minute here to look a little bit at Judas's life, though, as far as what we know. We know nothing of his upbringing other than where he was from. We don't know anything about his childhood. We don't know anything concerning him as an individual. Other than this, in all three of the passages of Scripture that I mentioned, there we go, they're in Matthew and Mark and in Luke. The last one mentioned is always Judas. He is either listed as Judas Iscariot, the betrayer, or something to that effect, but he's always the last one listed. Think back to your childhood. Think back to your days in school. The last thing that you wanted to be was the last one chosen for any activity that went on at school. And probably, if your name was far enough down the list, if everything was just being done alphabetically, you would probably at some time or another in your life wish, can they at least start at the bottom of the alphabet and go the other way so the A's get to be last instead of those of us with X, Y, or Z as a beginning of our last name. But Judas is always mentioned last. In Mark, the third chapter, let me back up. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10, where we started the reading from. I want to look at some of the things that happened in Judas' life. Remember, Judas was one of the 12. They did not take Judas and stick him off in a room by himself. They did not take him and lock him in a dungeon. He walked day in and day out with Jesus Christ once he was called. He walked day in and day out with Peter, with John, with Bartholomew, with Matthew, with Thaddeus. He was there with the 12. He was taught everything that they were taught. He was given the same powers that they were given. Notice the 10th chapter of Matthew, verse 1. Jesus had called his 12. He gave them. Who is the them? Peter, Andrew, James, and John, Philip, Thomas, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon, and Judas, Bartholomew as well in there. But Judas was given this. He was given power over unclean spirits. He was given power to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. There were times that Jesus told the apostles, the 12, you go. You go. In Mark, the third chapter, it tells us that Jesus had the apostles with him and that he had them with him so that he could send them out to preach. To have power over sicknesses and to cast out devils. So Judas was sent out to preach. Get that. Get that in your heads and understand it. He was told to go preach just like John was. He was told to go preach what? Preach the good news. The Messiah has come. That God loves you. That God wants you to follow him. Can you imagine that? We look at Judas and think about it. He's the one who we know betrayed Christ. But Christ sent him out to teach the good news. His opportunity to do good was the same as Matthew's and Bartholomew's and Thaddeus's. His opportunity to do good was the same as Peter, James, and John. Did he? All we know is that he was sent. Was he content where he was? No. I know it doesn't seem that way. Luke chapter 6. Some things that Judas saw. Judas would have been there to see Jesus heal people. Judas would have been there when Jesus healed the blind man, when he healed the lame man. When the man was let down through the roof, he would have seen the roof torn apart. Judas would have seen that man let down and Jesus look at him and say, look at the scribes and Pharisees, which is easier to say, take up your bed and walk or to be forgiven your sins? He would have seen Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. And he would have seen that man pick up his bed and walk. He was there in the boat when he saw Jesus walk on the water. He was there in that boat when he heard Peter say, Lord, if it is you, command me to come out, walk with you on the water. And Jesus said, come. And he would have seen Peter walk on the water. He would have seen Peter look at the waves, and the waves are boisterous. And Peter begins to sink, and he says, Lord, save me. And Jesus reaches out, takes his hand. And then he sees Peter and Jesus walk back to the boat. Remember when we talked about Peter the last time I was here? I told you, Peter walked twice on the water. Realize that. He walked to Jesus, and he walked hand in hand with Jesus back to the boat. And Judas would have seen that. Judas was in the boat when the seas became boisterous, and Jesus was taking a nap. Now, I don't know about you folks, when you were younger, I'd get on the school bus. I'd find a nice place, comfortable position to sit in because usually it wasn't full, especially when we got transferred down to Philo, but that's a whole other story we'll talk about later because I was from Roseville. And I'd ride that bus to Philo, and I'd go to sleep. Yeah, I'd take a nap right there on that boat, on that bus. Hitting all those bumps, and I'd still take a nap. Jesus, so I understand how Jesus could do it. He's in the boat asleep. The boat's going to and fro and here and there and everything else. And they're saying, they come down and say, Lord, aren't you afraid we're going to perish? And Jesus gets up and he says, peace be still. Judas would have seen that. He would have seen those rough, boisterous waves become a sea of glass. How many times have you driven along and you've seen a pond or a river or been up somewhere where there was a large body of water and it just looks as calm as glass? Judas saw that happen. Judas saw that. Judas would have been there when Jesus taught the Beatitudes. He was probably there listening because it was from those disciples that Jesus chose the apostles. So he may have well heard that. And in the 13th chapter of Matthew, the disciples asked Jesus, why do you teach them in parables, but you teach us differently? And Jesus says, because it's for you to know the mysteries. Get that. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Judas would have been standing right there near Jesus. He would have been with the 12. When Jesus would have looked at the 12, it's for you to know the mysteries. Judas, it's for you to know the special things that John Q. Public doesn't get to know. That's Judas. And we could go on and on and on and on and talk about the things that Judas saw and heard. But some other interesting things about Judas. He was the one that scolded Mary and questioned Jesus when Mary anointed Jesus with the oil. Couldn't this have been taken and sold? And the money given to the poor? Says he didn't care about the poor. He didn't care about the poor. He was the one that held the money. He was the treasurer of the group. That seems a little odd to me. In one fashion, it seems odd. The other fashion, maybe it doesn't. They've got a mathematician right there in the midst of them, Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector. He could have handled all the money and did everything that was necessary. But the 12 didn't have Matthew take it. Maybe there was a little resentment because he worked for Rome. We don't know why. We don't know why he wasn't the one that held the money, but we know that Judas was. And it says that Judas wasn't afraid to put his hand into the till and take a little bit out for himself. We would call it fraud. We would call him that he stole out of the different funds that was there. How many times have we heard of on the TV or the radio or however you're getting your news of somebody from a school or a church or the government that got busted because they were taking money and buying things for themselves, using them for trips, this, that? That's what Judas was doing. You know, I don't know what Judas used, but it said Judas was taking the money out of the treasury and using it for his own personal gain. And then we know that Judas sold out Jesus. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 26. Chapter beginning at verse 14. We're going to go with this to start with. One of the twelve that was in the boat, that saw the seas calm, that saw Jesus walk on the water, one of the twelve that was given power to go out and heal, was given power to go out to cast out demons. One of the twelve was told to go preach. One of the twelve, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest saying, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out 30 pieces of silver. It was the price that they were paying for slaves, top slaves of that day. 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought to betray Jesus. Why? Why would a man who had seen all of that and all of those things, all the good things that Jesus did, the widow of Cana, whose son was dead and Jesus went and healed him, brought him back to life. When they went to the tomb of Lazarus, Judas saw Jesus bring Lazarus back to life. Why would he betray him? Oh, there's a lot of speculations. Some people thought because Judas may have thought that Jesus was going to make an earthly kingdom here, and all of a sudden he realizes he's not. Maybe it was just he heard that, hey, this Jesus is doing things, but I'm not content with him. I'm not content with him. I can make a profit. I can put some cash in the bank. 30 pieces of silver is a lot of money back then, folks. And he looked for a way to betray him. Judas was there the night that Jesus washed the feet. Jesus washed Judas's feet. Remember what Peter said? When Jesus came to Peter, Peter pulled his feet back. He said, "No, you're not going to wash my feet." And Jesus said, "Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have neither nothing to do with my kingdom." And Peter said, "Well, wash not only my feet, but my head also. Give me a bath." Jesus says, "You don't need a bath if you're clean." And he goes around, and I don't know whether he did it before Peter or after Peter, But he washed Judas's feet. And Judas sat there knowing what was going to happen. He knew that within a few hours or minutes or hours that he was going to betray him. And he sat there and let Jesus wash his feet. You talk about being two-faced. That was Judas. That was Judas. And then Jesus tells him, one of you is going to betray me. He tells that to the 12. And they're all beginning to, they're asking the question, is it me? Is it me? Is it me? And Jesus said, it is he who I handeth what I've dipped into the sop. And Jesus handed it to Judas. And then here in the 26th chapter, beginning at verse 24. The man of sin goes just as it is written of him. But woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed, Son of Man being Christ. It would have been better, the King James says, for that man if he had not been born. And when he said that, Judas asked the question, well, is it I? And here in this case, Jesus said, you said it. You know the answer. You know the answer. And Judas then, if we were to take the time to look over at John, the 13th chapter, you would find that this is about the time where Jesus looked at Judas and says, what you do, do quickly. It says the apostles thought that Judas was going to go and do something or buy something because he was the controller of the money and figured that Jesus was telling them him to go do that. But Judas knew what Jesus meant. And Jesus knew what Judas was going to do. He knew that he was going to betray him. And then we go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Judas had told those that were with him. And remember, they brought out a band of people. They brought out several soldiers, not just two or three. They brought a small army. And Judas says, it is the one that I kiss. Now, I don't know about you. I don't give kisses generally to people to speak of, other than my wife. Sometimes I may, someone that I'm extremely close to, I may kiss on the cheek, and I haven't seen him for a while. Judas comes to Jesus, whom he's going to betray, and he looks at him, and he kisses him on the cheek. Gives him the betrayal kiss, if you will. Because you see, Satan had entered Judas. Not meaning physically, but Judas had allowed Satan to come into his heart. He had allowed Satan to be part of his life. Again, you find that over in John, the 13th chapter. Then Judas begins to see what happens. He knows that Jesus is getting beaten. He knows that all sorts of things are happening to Jesus. He goes to Caiaphas. He goes to Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate sends him to Herod. Herod sends him back to Pontius Pilate. And somewhere through this time, Judas, he's got a change of heart. He said, I've betrayed innocent blood. And he takes the money in and he throws it down at the feet of the chief priest. And the chief priest says, what's that to us? We can't take that money back. That's blood money. We can't take it back. And they went and bought a plot of ground that eventually Judas was buried in, because Judas went and committed suicide. We read a scripture a little bit ago there in Matthew, the 26th chapter, where Jesus says, "Woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It is better that he had not been born." That had not the fact that he was predestined to betray Jesus. He wasn't. He wasn't born with a stamp on his shoulder or his head or something that said, "This is the one that's going to betray Jesus." It wasn't done. He wasn't born to do that. Think about what was going through his mind. He takes the money. He goes out. And then they see the way they treat Jesus. Put yourself in that place. You've done something wrong. I don't know what it was. You've done something wrong when you were younger. When you were at home. When you were at school. When you were at work. You did something that you knew mom and dad would not like. And what did it begin to do? It began to bother you. It began to upset you. Even to the point that it made you sick physically. And what are you thinking to yourself? I wish I would have never done it. I wish I would have never done that. That's exactly what Judas is saying. I wish I would have never done that. I wish I would have never done it. And he was to the point that now he says, "There's nothing else I can do. There's nothing else that I can do." And he goes and commits suicide. Oh, it was better that that man would have never been born. Yep, nowhere in Scripture. Nowhere in Scripture does it teach that Judas had no choice in the matter. He had a choice. In fact, Judas had had all the same influences and teaching that the other 11 apostles had been given. I was talking with somebody earlier this week, and we were talking about choices. And he said, "I don't understand. I had 3 children. They were all taught the same thing. Only one is faithful. Only one is faithful." They all had the same choices. This man's other 2 children haven't followed the Lord. They've gone and lived their own life. They attend other, they attend denominations. Choice. What Judas did was a choice. He was not predestined to be the one. There were 12 chosen. One of those 12 was going to betray him. Which one? But to say that Judas was predestined, that means he had no choice. That meant he was going to go to hell from the beginning. We talked about predestination a little bit this morning from the book of Ephesians, first chapter. God has predestined us to go to heaven. That doesn't mean he has predestined us as individuals. He has predestined a path, a way. And those that follow it are then predestined to go to heaven. I use this as an analogy this morning. It may not be really a good one, but I think it works. When you watch baseball being played, it's a predestined game. It's predestined. It's not predestined who's going to win, but it's a predestined game. 3 strikes, go sit down on the bench, buddy. You're out. 4 balls, go to first base. Fly ball caught, you're out. Ground ball thrown to first base. First baseman drops it. That's an error. You're safe if you beat the tag. Those are all predestined rules, but it's going to tell you who's going to win that game. The same thing is true with us as the Lord. The Lord has predestined us to go to heaven if we follow his rules. If we follow his rules. And there's a lot of choices along the way to make. These are choices that I picked up off of the internet that was applied to a baseball team. But they apply to our lives as well. Laziness. And that laziness can be from a young age, depending on what mother and father have taught the child, to somebody who is 80 or 90 years old. Laziness is a choice. If all you plan to do is just sit in your chair all the time and do nothing, and like I used to like to say, eat bonbons all day long, that's your choice. What you eat is a choice. Are you overweight? Why? Is it because you sat and ate bonbons all day long? If it's medicine, that's a different story. Sometimes we don't have choices in that. Not if we want to live. But what you eat is a choice because it can affect your blood sugar. It can affect the way your knees feel, your hip feels, your back feels, the aches and pains off of sometimes what you eat will affect all of that. Your A1C, need we go on? The effort you make in life is a choice. And there again, like I said, these ideas were all given for a baseball team, but it holds true for all of us. Your attitude is a choice. You can either choose to be a grumpy old person all your life and walk around look like you've ate sour lemons, or you can smile a little bit and try to treat other people nice. Because oftentimes the way you get treated is because you treated somebody else that way. Your focus in life is a choice, what you focus on. Especially for those young ones that are still in school that might be here. The focus you put on your homework, the focus you put on your studies, as we talked about with this morning in Bible class, the wisdom that is there for us that God will give us may depend upon how much do we focus. Do we focus on the Word of God? Or do we focus on what we watch on TV or on the internet? Your energy can be a choice. See some commercials on TV right now. Some of you may see them too, depending upon the channel you watch. People are sitting there running their little thing for on their feet to try to build. And they'll say, I got more energy. Well, that person is supposedly focused to get more energy. But it was a focus. They wanted to do it. They didn't want to just sit there. Excuse making is a choice. Well, you know, remember that old saying? The dog ate my homework. No, he didn't. You just didn't get it done. Excuses. The excuse that we make. I'm sorry, Mr. Police Officer. I didn't realize that I was running 65 in a 35 mile per hour zone. Yeah, you did. I see a lot of grins going around on that one. Your accountability is a choice. You are accountable for what happens. You are accountable for what happens in this world. You will be accountable to the Lord God when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ that day. And your name is called. You will be accountable for that. You will go to heaven or hell because of what you do. Come back to that in a minute. Your routine is a choice. What you do every day. What time do you get up in the morning? It's a routine. I always used to get up at 6. Don't ask me what time I get up now. What are you laughing about? And some of you know what I'm talking about. You've retired. You don't get up as early as some people still do. But that's your choice. You know, what time you eat lunch, what time you eat supper, what you eat for lunch. We talked about earlier, what you eat is a choice. What you eat may be because of the routine you keep. Now, we like to say, well, we can't eat at a set time because we got grandkids and we're going to take it here and there and everywhere. And that's true. And you, some of you can probably say the same thing. You're taking your kids, you're taking your grandkids to this sporting event, that sporting event. This is going on, that's going on. But that's the routine you've chosen. I know a lady that has said, I've raised my kids. I don't have to run around with my grandkids. That's the routine she's chosen. Your preparation is a choice. And this was something that I drilled into my sons as they played baseball, as they grew up. I told them, the way you practice at home, the way you practice on the field, is the way you will play on game day. And the other day I heard one of the kids, my son Scott is coaching down at Philo, for the 12-year-olds, and I heard one of the boys say, yeah, every time we make a bad throw in practice, the coach makes us go get it. Makes us go get the ball. He learned to get them to do that because that's what I did. Yeah, the ball went down over the bank, son, there in the creek. You need to go find it. Because I always told him, hit me in the chest with the ball. If I miss it, that's my fault. But then the preparation wasn't evidently as good because the Lord's not important. The Lord's not as that important in his life. Preparation? What are you preparing yourself and what are you preparing your children and your grandchildren for? Parents, grandparents, you may say, well, I don't have much of an influence on my children. Yes, you can. Sunday afternoon, Monday morning, send them a text with a short scripture to it. It's an easy way to touch and get the Lord into their life. It may not seem like much, and it may make no difference, but you never know. It might. I had one of my grandkids text me back the other day and said, thank you, Papa. Preparation is a choice. How you respond to a situation is a choice. You wake up, your husband, your wife's upset with you, the dog hasn't behaved, and you got to go clean up the mess that the dog made. How do you respond to it? Are you mad for the rest of the day? How do you deal with the neighbor next door? How do you respond to them? Do you respond to them as a Christian? Your habits are a choice. Everything that we've talked about leads to a habit. And your habits are a choice. So when it comes to heaven and hell, when it comes to what you're going to have to answer for on the day of judgment, it's literally your choice. Your choice to be like Jesus, or Judas, I mean. Your choice to be like Judas and not obey God and go and burn in hell. Yeah, it will be your choice. If you end up in hell, that's because of the choice that you have made in your life here upon this earth. Or it's your choice to obey God, to do his will, and go to heaven. So this morning, what's your choice? What's your choice? As we offer the invitation, what are you going to do? When you leave this building this day, you will have made a choice. You will have made a choice that either I am going to obey God, and I'm going to live for him all the rest of my life, or I'm not. If I am, if you've never named Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, then you've heard the word. You've heard a little bit of the word today. You need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You need to confess him as such, and you need to repent of the way that you've lived. Anything that's been wrong, you need to repent of. Then you need to be baptized in the water of grave of baptism, and the baptistry is right here. It can be filled in just a matter of minutes. And then you can arise out of that baptistry, being baptized, and walk a new way of life. Or you will choose when you walk out these doors, if you have not done that, you have made your choice that at least as of today, and if the Lord comes today, I'll be going to hell. And I'm content with that, which you will never be content with once you get there. So this morning, if you need to respond, will you please come as together we stand and sing.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Before we prepare our minds to take the Lord's Supper, we'll sing 143, please. 143. This another song's been a long time since it led. We'll do our best. Low in the mighty Thank you, Tom, for leading that song. It's a different kind of sermon that Daryl preached this morning, but it brings to mind sometimes things we miss about the Word of God, and some things we just read over quickly, and we've read those for years, but you don't think about Judas and all the many things that he brought out about that. I think of a lot of things when you're preaching, Daryl, you bring to mind a lot of things. And the dog did eat the homework sometimes. That excuse I got a couple times. And one time I think it was true. I think of the word content, too, and the song Tom, another song Tom said that he hadn't used as much, but the word content, as Daryl was bringing out one meaning, are you content, rather, with things, and how that can be used different ways. I want to, before I forget, if you are here and do not have the Lord's Supper, Ernie's in the back with it. If anyone's forgotten that wants it, just raise your hand. He's able to bring that to you. So we'd make that available to you if you need it. I want to go very quickly this morning, do similar thing to what Daryl's already done. Look at something that as Tom and I and Ernie were studying to do a podcast about to focus on the resurrection. Something that come to mind about the Sanhedrin. I'd like to mention that this morning as we're focus our minds on these emblems. Something I did want to go back to and mention this. As we're going to this part of our worship, this is part of the worship. In the song that Tom led, If Jesus Goes With Me, verse 4 says, it is not mine to question. We just sang this. It is not mine to question the judgments of my Lord. It is but mine to follow the leadings of his word. Now, what's that mean to me is when we get up and are about ready to partake of the Lord's Supper, it wasn't mine to question when this was to be done. It wasn't mine to question what we use to remember the Lord. All these things are already determined. We know in the scriptures, Christ was by the Father, was given all authority in heaven and earth. So how much authority do I have to change anything? That's something to keep in mind in religion, in the things we do. Are we following Christ who has all authority? Or are we following the doctrines and commandments of men that Jesus has talked so many times to the scribes and Pharisees about not doing? So I want to go very quickly to the arrest of Jesus as he was arrested. Daryl's brought up this, Judas's kiss of death. Just thinking about that is something else. Thinking about Peter's courage that he would try to protect the Lord and chop off Malchus' ear, which the Lord told him that wasn't what he should be doing. The trial by the Sanhedrin is really what I want to focus on. What was the Sanhedrin? Sanhedrin was the Jewish high court. You think of it like with us, with our government, the Supreme Court. And I'm going to paraphrase these things for the matter of time, so we won't have you here too long this morning. Well, the people that were in the Sanhedrin were the leaders, the very top leaders. But they started plotting that long time ago before the things that happened there. They were jealous of Jesus and envious right after Lazarus was brought back to life after being dead 4 days. Jesus brought him back to life. The people were so amazed at this, and it spread very quickly. And the people that were leading, the Sanhedrin, the scribes, the Pharisees, the council, the elders, they were all jealous, envious. We're going to have to do something about this. That was in John chapter 11. Then Jesus and Martha together. Martha ran to meet Jesus. And knowing the emotions of Jesus, that one verse that we usually young in our life learned, Jesus wept. Those things that took place. So there was a plot that started clear back in John chapter 11 that went on through. And it's interesting. I've never thought about the relationships here. The high priest at one time would have been Annas. He was the high priest for 8 years. And he should have had it for life, but the Romans, he did something the Romans didn't like. They kicked him out. They put Caiaphas in his place. Caiaphas, his son-in-law. Annas was a father-in-law. So all those were in cahoots together, to a way of expressing it. They planned this whole thing. They, like with Judas, paying him 30 pieces of silver, they were willing to even pay people to testify against Jesus, lie about them. These were the elders, the scribes, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the counselors, the elders. Just the people leading should have been the people that were honest. But like today, sometimes courts aren't honest. There were 71 members in the Sanhedrin. At that time, they met at night. They weren't supposed to be doing that, particularly with a death sentence. Only needed 23 people in there to have court during the day. It should have been. But don't you imagine they picked the people that hated Jesus? They beat him up. They spit on him. They punched him. Can you imagine that? The Son of God being beat, spit in his face, all over him, punched him. They'd mock him when they were punching him. They'd punch him. Okay, prophet. You tell me who just punched you, had him blindfolded when all this was going on. Then finally they sent him to Pontius Pilate, and he went through that. They were wearing him out, bringing him closer to death before they crucified him. We know that during this time Jesus had prophesied that Peter would deny him 3 times, which he did. Jesus, who do you say that I am? Who asked that question? Peter was the one that told him that he believed he was the Son of God, the first one. Peter ended up, after the denials, it says he followed him afar off. This morning as we partake of these emblems, we have to decide how far off are we from Peter? Do we do that? It brings to the things what we're content with. Do we follow Jesus afar off? Are we religious on Sundays, but maybe not so much so on Saturday nights? Those are things that we have to, each one of us has to question. So as we're about to remember these emblems, I'd like to read a scripture here. This comes from John. John chapter 11, back at the time that he just raised Lazarus from the dead. Martha's running up to him. Lord, if you'd have been there, he wouldn't have died. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. But you believe that? Do you believe this, Martha? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. That's something for us to keep in mind as we partake of the bread and the cup containing the fruit of the vine, which represents the precious blood of Jesus. One of the things that Jesus did when Caiaphas asked him, are you the Son of God? And it's like Daryl said in his sermon about, you said it. That's why Jesus answered him if you read the four Gospels about how that happened. That was one of the most courageous moments. Jesus had a choice there what we talked about this morning. He had a choice to say, well, I don't know what you're talking about, like Peter did when he denied Christ. I don't know what you're talking about. But at that moment, and Christ knew this, that when he said, "You said it, I'm the Christ, the Son of God," he's going to be put to death there. What about us when we're put in a situation of danger? Do we rise the occasion with some courage and make the right choice? Or we're going to go as Peter did, make the choice? I don't know what you're talking about. These are things. Do we stand up for Jesus? That was the first song we sang this morning. So let's bow now and go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this time that, and the manner that you've had us to remember you each Lord's Day, each first day of the week. Pray now that each one of us will focus on the great sacrifice that you made for us, that we might have our sins forgiven, that you were willing to give your sinless life for us and the sins that we have. We pray now as we take this bread that we focus on it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, now we come to thee, thanking thee for this cup containing the fruit of the vine, so fitly represents the blood that our Lord and Savior shed on the cross for our sins. Help us to be mindful of it this time and throughout each day of our lives that we serve thee. Forgive us of our sins, Father, and help us to be stronger in the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as we come to another part of our service, we know from the New Testament that on the first day of the week that the Christians had a collection to give, as they've been prospered, this would be for supporting the work of the church. This, again, we should not question. We should try to follow the example of the Church of Christ in the New Testament. They started that in the first century. It was under men who were filled with the Holy Spirit. We have no right to change it or to question these things when it comes to worship. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee at this time for the privilege we have of giving back to you. We know that all blessings, all good things come from you. Help us, Father, to be grateful for them, to share them, and to use them in a manner that would bring honor and glory to your name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I might say that we do this in a different manner of the collection. There is a place in the foyer there for the collection if you are new. Tom. Good to see everyone this morning. Especially all of our visitors. I was just thinking, be nice if we all be here every Lord's Day. I want to make mention, church will be purchasing Bibles this year for all the graduates. Please let Jim or Marcia know if those students who will be graduating were planning on having the Bibles ready to be passed out by the third week in May before graduation day. So that's good to get a Bible. I make mention, Alan Abbey passed away. That's her sister Kathy's husband. I remember that family in the prayers. Great guy, always liked him. That's Alan Abbey. Good to see Holly with us. She's been going through a lot. If you notice, no bolt in the last couple of weeks. We miss that, but we're not hurrying her. So let her take her time to get well, and we appreciate her help. Last week or so, Holly made these, sent out for a gospel meeting coming up in 2 weeks from today, I believe. May 4th, 5th, and 6th. And hopefully everyone at other Church of Christ gets these. Tony Torrell, that's Larry Arnold's son-in-law. We've heard him many times, real good speaker. Please help us and come back and attend that. Have a good turnout. And our sing will be June. We're going to have a sing. There's other things going on. Gospel meeting in Groveport coming up. Sing in McCollinsville. So if you can, plan to attend them. Good to see Ernie and Brenda's family here. And all of our visitors, Larry and Sue. Good to see everyone. No other announcements? If I'm missing something, bring it to attention. Tyler will have her closing prayer. Good to see everyone. Have a good week and a safe Easter. Tyler.
Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you today, thanking you for the opportunity to study your word, sing these songs unto you. God, we ask you to be with those that have various health ailments that they're dealing with, those that have had recent surgeries that are continuing to recover from surgery, those that have upcoming test procedures, and those that have lost loved ones recently. Please be with them and the families during their challenging times. Please provide them comfort. God, we thank you for the lesson that Daryl has prepared today for us. Help us to be able to take from what we learn, to apply to our lives, to become better Christians and continue to grow, and that we're able to outreach others and help your kingdom grow. God, we ask you to be with the New Lexington congregation as we have an upcoming gospel meeting, that we're able to reach others and, again, to continue to grow your kingdom. God, we ask you to be with us as we separate and go our own ways, that we're able to walk in the heavenly light. And when we fall short, Lord, please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.